Tisha B'av, a day of Avelus, is a vitally, vitally important day within our Avodas Hashem. One of the six questions that we're all asked, the Asa Lovo is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you not just believe in the Geula Asida? Did you not just believe in the ultimate redemption, but did you long for it? Did you yearn for it? Similarly, reflecting this Gemara, the Rambam writes, "Bekol mi she'eino ma'amin bo," someone who doesn't believe in the Melech HaMashiach, "o mechakeh l'biyoso," or is not awaiting anxiously his arrival, "lo b'shah ha'neviyim b'vad hu kofer, ela b'atorah v'moshe Rabbeinu," he's not only denying, Rachman al-Itzlan, the prophecy of all the other prophets, but he's denying the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's denying the Torah. In order to have a sense of yearning, a sense of longing, there has to be a painful, aching void. When a person doesn't feel it, Rachman al-Itzlan, so you don't only count the hours, you count the minutes, you count the seconds until it will lift, until that bug, that machla, whatever it is, Rahman al-Islam will lift and a person will feel better. When a person is feeling good, when a person is doing something enjoyable, when a person's in a blissful state of euphoria, he's not looking for anything to change, he's not waiting, he's not yearning. It's more that Chafetz Chaim writes in his Kuntres, by that name, Tzipisa LeYeshua, that the longing for the Geula, the longing for Mashiach, shouldn't simply be for whatever personal benefits will accrue to us. Cholim will be Nisrapu, Cholim will enjoy a complete recovery, and at some point, obviously, there's Trias HaMesim. But the yearning for Yimosa Mashiach, for the Geula, is, as we say in the second paragraph of Aleinu, for his Galus Kvod Shamayim, for revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor in the world. Question is, how does a person relate to that? How does a person make Kvod Shemayim, as it were, his agenda? And this is where the Avelus of Tisha B'Av comes in. Chazal equate the experience of Avelus, of Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av, to the phases of Aninus and Avelus and personal Avelus. And clearly, what happens in Aninus and Avelus is that a person experiences a sense of existential bankruptcy. Bankruptcy. One day, a person thinks that he has millions and millions of dollars in the bank, and then all of a sudden there's a downturn in his fortunes and he finds himself drowning in debt. That's financial bankruptcy, Rachman al-Itzlan. Existential bankruptcy is experienced when a person realizes that so much of what preoccupies his life, so much of what fills his days, so many of his goals are really nothing more than a shadow and they're empty shells. When a person sits Shiva Rachman al-Itzlan in Avelus Chadosha, in personal Avelus, it doesn't matter how big his house is, doesn't matter how well padded his bank accounts are, doesn't matter how well connected he is, doesn't matter how much social prestige and professional success he enjoys. He was totally helpless, And his whole world comes crashing in. Avelus is to experience existential bankruptcy. A sense of just, what's it all worth? But my daily routine, that focus, the focus on all the externals of life, Avelus exposes all that, Avelus, Rachmanu Litzlan, exposes all that for exactly what it is. The moshel, you have a person who has a drinking problem, and gradually his addiction becomes stronger and stronger, and he refuses to come to terms with it, he refuses to acknowledge it. He's given repeated warnings by his boss, repeated pleas and ultimately warnings from his wife and children, and they all fall on deaf ears. Then he wakes up one morning having received a pink slip from work, and he finds a note from his wife and children saying, "We've left and don't try to contact us." That's the experience of Avelus. But as in the Moshel, when the person hits bottom, he faces stark reality. And that's where the Avelus segues, as so many of the Rishonim underscore for us, Avelus segues into tshuva. There's a recognition of the hollowness, the shallowness, the lack of substance in so much, and the recognition that the only thing which is truly good and truly worthwhile and truly enduring is the Ribono Shel Olam. And the only way we relate to what's truly good and what's truly real and what's truly enduring is by connecting to the Ribono Shel Olam. And the only way all this emptiness and shallowness and empty shells are lifted and removed from the world is when the world is full of Kvod Shamayim. It's been said that truth is something which is experienced like a flash of lightning. You can't freeze that frame with a bolt of lightning, with a flash of lightning. It comes, it goes. But that moment is a moment of vivid perception and vivid understanding and clarity. Halavai that we were on a madrega to speak of a continuous, unbroken mindset of Tzipisa Yeshua, but even if at the moment that's well beyond our reach, that flash of lightning amidst the experience which we try to recreate, which we try to experience through the kinos of that bankruptcy, there are flashes when a person understands that all the tzaros are manifestations of evil, all the tzaros are because there's a facade which covers up Kvod Shamayim. And for a moment, a person sees and experiences that flash of lightning. The bankruptcy of Avelus is not only in terms of all the superficialities and externalities of life, but the bankruptcy of Avelus is even once we come to the recognition that Ein Shem Dava Ha'omed La'ol Me'olamim, Kiyim Yediyas Tzor Olamim, even when we come to the recognition that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, a person wants good, a person wants what's real, a person wants that to be in the world, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing other than that. But a person realizes when he's in a state of Avelus, the Rav spoke about this based on the Gemara in Moed Katan, that when a person's in a state of Avelus, he's Menudel LaShamayim, as though Kaviyachol Rachman Letzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imposed some degree of excommunication upon us. It's that experience that we look to create and tap into as we say the kinos. It's true that in the kinos we do find notes looking forward. We do find perhaps rays of sunlight that penetrate the gloom. But it's very important not to fast forward to that stage. A person has to first try to experience the Avelus without comforting himself. A person has to hit rock bottom in order to gain that clarity of perception and have that impetus to try to undo the state of Menudah L'Shamayim, which is why traditionally the afternoon of Tisha B'Av emphasizes more the element of hopefulness, but the morning is intended as a time for intense avelus, to feel and experience that existential bankruptcy. One or two very quick comments on the first kina. From Abeleza HaKalir. In the first paragraph of the Kina, we speak twice of Sakosa. Sakosa Lashon Schach, a covering. The precise translation is often a matter of question, but it's clear that the idea which is being communicated is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, imposed a barrier between himself and us, and that there was a period of Hester upon him in not hearing our tefillos. The end of the second paragraph, Osov Nicham, perhaps should be translated as Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, he brought the Chorban, and simultaneously V'Nicham, that Kaviyochol, we forced HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. It's not a sequential Osa V'Nicham, but simultaneously. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, that isn't the way he wanted to reach out to us. That isn't the way Kaviyochol, he wanted the relationship to be. Osa V'Nicham, simultaneously, he brought the Chorban, and simultaneously he regretted having to do so, Vayikra L'Bechiya, and he called out for tears. In this kina, as in so many of the kinas, Reb Elezer HaKalir goes back and forth seamlessly between Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. Again, exactly what the reference is in paragraph 3 of Al Pnei Fras Nupzu Chasideha. But it's referring to Churban Rishon. I think in the Rav's kinas here it says that the Rav quoted the Medrash that the waters of the Euphrates were polluted, and when the exiles drank from them, so more people died as a result of ingesting those waters than had been killed at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Whereas in the end of the fourth paragraph, Tzo'ak Ami Bimei Ben Dinai was a murderer who lived in the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, in the time of the events leading up to Churban Bayis Sheni, who led an ill-advised and ultimately tragic and bloody, unsuccessful revolt against the Romans. We go back and forth. We mourn both Chorbanos today. And finally, another theme that runs through the kinos as a leitmotif is the call for justice, is that the Umos HaOlam weren't acting consciously, intentionally as agents to carry out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nevuah. They did, much as our enemies today do, they did it out of their own pure vitriolic hatred for us, their murderous bloodlust hatred for us. And one of the motifs, Tovo El Tzor Asher Kilonu, the last paragraph of the Kina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who come upon the enemy who consumed us, let justice prevail, and let them be held accountable for their murderous deeds.